What's the title of today's message? Lasting Love. Let's pray first. Lord, as we look at your word, challenge our hearts to become more of what you desire for each of us to be here today. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, today, by now everybody ought to know, we are celebrating Father's Day, and we want to say special thank you and tribute to all of you men who recognize that it is a gift, it is an honor, it is a high calling, worthy of pursuit to be a responsible father. Say, responsible father. Thank God for all the responsible fathers and responsible men that are here in the church today and in the world today. You know, you can know you are a responsible father when you recognize that cheering for your son or your daughter is far more important than cheering for LeBron or Kobe and going wild over them. Now, there's nothing wrong with cheering for those guys and great athletes, but your child has the potential to enrich your life in a way that an athlete never could possibly ever do, nor will they desire to do it. There are moments in a dad's life that are just plain precious. It's precious when you see that first walk. It's precious when you hear them say, Dad, for the first time. God bless them to say, Dad, Dad, before they could say, Mom, Mom, Mom. Praise God. So we get, she knew my name first. It is a blessing to have that little one run up to you when you come home. It's a blessing to see somebody trying to imitate you as they are growing up in life. It is a blessing to be a father. Now, a responsible man or a responsible father knows that any attempt, say any attempt to bring a child into this world is a prior commitment on his part to put that child's need ahead of his own for at least the next 18 years. And Dad, let me tell you something. After 18, they still know your phone number, and they still call and ask for money. It's just beginning, Walter. It's just beginning. I remember the first time Samantha bought a car, she bought a used car. She had that thing about a week, and it broke down somewhere, and she called me up. And I still remember my wife saying, you got to be getting a lot more phone calls than you used to get with that car. And I did. A responsible father knows from the outset that one of the greatest gifts he can give to his future child is to be married to that child's mother so that that child comes into a loving, supportive family. I want to thank God for you 25% who are at home with your children. My heart grieves that 75% of our homes don't have the man there growing up, watching that child day by day. A responsible father knows that there are times when you just got to shut out the rest of the world and spend some time with your son or your daughter. A responsible man knows that the choices I make affect a lot of people. Now, one of the things we need help from you sisters as men is you need to recognize that we are important in a child's life. And before you take the risk of bringing in that child and we have not committed ourselves to you, you think ahead. Slap upside the head and say, you think with me ahead. You see, God has a plan. God says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Do you see there is an order? You leave so that you can really get to know this person. Okay? You need to know how do they spend money. You need to know what are they like when they get mad. You need to know what are their goals, what are their pursuits, what are their aims. You need to know all that stuff. You do not need to know how they perform in bed. Trust me, God has built you in such a way that it will work. Okay, it will work. So you don't need to know that yet. You need to know all this other stuff first. Then you need to cleave. That means stick to your wife or your husband. Didn't say stick to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, your wife or your husband. Now when you are cleaving, now you're really finding out about each other. And then finally it said, go out and have all the sex you want. Have a good time with it for as long as you want. We done got this order mixed up. We think we're supposed to start over here. And we start over here and we don't have anything but wild romantic feelings going through us. How many of you know feelings in? They change. All of a sudden, well, it wasn't quite what I thought it was going to be. And now, I think I'm ready to move on. Well, you see, if there was no commitment, there wasn't nothing there to have any real feelings with. I hate to confess this. 53 years old. This woman has taught me more about sex at 53 than she could back when we got married at 24. Why? We got some history behind us. We got some commitment behind us. There's more than just two people jumping in bed together. Praise God. I don't know who all that was for. That wasn't in my sermon. But that's what God told me to say. Thank you for all of you who remember what the order is. Leave. Cleave. Become one flesh. Mess this order up. Three people at least gonna pay for it. And a whole lot of us gonna have to help make the situation turn right. Want to say thank you to all of you men who have been fathers, both physically, and those of you who have been fathers because you chose to step in the role of a father in the life of a child. It could have been as a coach, as a teacher, as a pastor, as a foster parent, grandfather, an uncle. You made that choice to have your life blessed. And I can say from my own testimony, my life has been so enriched from the girls that God has blessed us with who have walked into our homes and chosen to call me father, chosen to call me dad. There's a whole lot of stuff I will forget in life. But I won't forget them. You see, a good man is an incredible gift in the life of a child. And men, every last one of us here has the potential of being a good man in the life of a child. All it takes is a willing spirit on my heart, on our part. And young men and old men alike, go home and read that whole chapter in Proverbs. Read 5, 6, and 7. And you'll see there's some warnings there to help us keep our lives on track. And remember, if we are not already committed to our future child's mother by committing ourselves to her in marriage, we are not ready for sex. We are not ready to practice sex. Because if we do, again, we are about to screw up more lives than just our own. When we get the order wrong, we all lose. Thank God that God is a merciful God, that even when we have messed up, God can still come behind us and clean the thing back up, but it's better to have done it the right way in the first place. Because then we truly give our children the best chance of making it in this world. You know, every child desires and wants the love of his or her father. Even when we turn as adults, there is still the desire to have been loved by our father. Now, some of us have been in homes in which our fathers were just a blessing to us. They showed us love and affection in our hearts, and we got a lot of great memories. Some of us, on the other hand, grew up in homes where we had a lot of anger and resentment towards our fathers. Either they did something to us, or they weren't there in the first place. And many of us are somewhere in between. We grew up in homes where we had mixed feelings about our fathers. But I want us to know that those of us who do have a lot of resentment, today would be a good day to just let it go and choose to forgive. Because we can learn in Christ to love our fathers for what they could have been if only they had allowed and accepted the love and mercy of God to be at work in their lives. Now, I don't care how rotten you think your dad might have been, how many of you know you got something to be thankful for? Because if he were not there, you would not be sitting here this morning. And some of those good qualities you got passed on to you, and you did not even know it was being passed on. Now, me, I had a good stepfather. My dad, birth father, I remember seeing him when I was 7. Next time, I was 12. The next time, I was 19. The next time, I was 26. And I don't think the next time I was somewhere in my 40s. But I realize it's still not too late to build a positive relationship. Got a letter from him the other day. Actually, sent him a letter. He said that we had sent him a copy of our video services. And he said, you know, I've been sending money to ministries all the way around the world, and I recognize I got a son that's doing the exact same thing. I need to be sending my money to support you and Toby's ministry. 53 years, we finally coming around to building a relationship. It's not too late. Dad, you may have blown it something big time. There's nothing stopping you from turning today, seeking forgiveness today. You know, we don't know how much God may want to use somebody else in our lives. Last week, Pastor Toby preached perhaps one of the most convicting messages I have ever heard in my life on selfishness and how it ruins relationship. If you were here last Sunday and you didn't see some selfishness in your own heart that needed to be forgiven by God, you slept through that message. We need to extend God's grace to our fathers who were selfish at times and may have even hurt us. You see, on this journey called life, how many of you know none of us have lived perfect lives? We are on our last week of 40 days of love. And I have to say, I have to confess this. For me, these last 40 days of love have been the most humbling period in my walk with Christ. Never have I seen how far below the mark I was coming and still coming. Today we're going to be looking at the last week of 40 days, and we're going to be looking at keys that make love last. How do we keep this thing going? Jesus gave us such a high standard to live up to when he said, love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Now that sounds easy and that sounds simple, but I find myself, I am far more interested in you loving me in the way that Jesus loved you than I am in loving you the way Jesus loved me. Since this is Father's Day, we'll look at a father who can help us deal with lasting love. I'm going to bring him out of the first century and put him into the 21st century out of Luke chapter 15. You read about him, so I'll refresh your memory and I'll give some names to them. I want you to meet the father, and we're going to call the father Mr. Wade. Mr. Wade and his wife had two sons whom they both loved very, very much. And Mr. Wade had worked hard and determined, he and his wife, to set aside some money for their son's future. He had built a business, and he expected that one day he was going to turn this business over to his sons. Now, the older son, his name was James, and James was a hard worker. He was eager to learn the ins and outs from the businesses from his father. He tried to please his parents whenever he could, tried to make good choices, didn't give his family an ounce of trouble. He was a pretty good kid that turned into a pretty good adult. Now, some of you say, yeah, that's me. John, however, was his younger brother. And John was the kind of person that you just liked John. He was just fun to be around. He could be the jokester of the party. You just kind of had a good time with John. He's the kind of person when you, I dare you to do that. John would take the dare just to take the dare. John was the kind of person that had his parents down at the school for a number of times because of his behavior. And the older John got, the little bit more difficult situations he got himself into. John wasn't quite showing up at work on the family business on time, and he made it clear that, man, when he got old enough, he was going to go see the world. And James would complain to his father, you know, my younger brother, he's just not doing his share of the work. He's coming in late, he's leaving early. And his father would say, James, don't worry about it. We just need to help your brother. He's going to mature. We just need to help him out. Now, when we talk about love that lasts, which we all need and we all are seeking, first thing we need to know is that lasting love extends grace. Lasting love extends grace. No relationship can make it without grace. We are all going to disappoint people, and we are all going to be disappointed. So grace has to be a part of our lives. We have to cut each other some slack. There are some things we are simply going to have to overlook, and some things we are just going to have to let it pass. Now, the Bible's got a verse in it that I wish was not there, but it is, so I think we have to deal with it. That verse says, love never stops being patient. Other translation says, love puts up with anything. It patiently accepts all things and is ready to make allowances. In other words, if we decide to love people, we have to decide to allow for some mistakes. Sometimes we hold people hostages by not allowing them to make mistakes. Now, I want us all to say this together so that we are not shocked when it happens. It goes like this. People in my home are going to make mistakes. Let's try saying that. People in my home are going to make mistakes. Part two. I am going to love them anyways. Let's say that. Whoa, some of y'all already backed out. Let's say it together. I am going to love them anyways. Now let's say it this way. I am going to make a mistake.
I am going to make a mistake.
Would you please keep loving me? Okay. Right now, there is somebody in your house that you need to extend some grace to. Mr. Wade extended grace to his son, John. Now, don't think that simply because you extend grace, the other person is immediately going to start doing their part. So even though Mr. Wade extended grace to John, the more grace John got, the more bolder he became. Now, up to this point, John has been lazy. But he goes into his father's office and he declares. Now, you just imagine your child coming in telling you this, saying that, now, Dad, we both can see that I'm just not feeling this business. I'm just not feeling this. Now, I got a plan where I can make it on my own. I know that you're going to give me an inheritance when you die. But I ain't got time to wait for you to get too old to die. So just give me the money that you are going to give me right now so I can go out and make it on my own because I want to be in charge of my life. Now, you are probably thinking, you want to be in charge of your life, but you want to take my money to go and do it. How many of you have already thought, boy, if you don't get your lazy behind up and get out of here and do some work, you got to be homeless and unemployed? This is why we have 40 days of love on learning how to love difficult and demanding people. Kind of like your son or daughter telling you, sick and tired of living in this house, I'm leaving. They knock back on the door and ask you, can you help me with the rent deposit and the first month's rent? Now, there is no way Mr. Wade couldn't have been hurt by his son's attitude and words. Here he is, he spent years trying to help his son, and now that his son is in a position to help him, he's heading out the door, and he wants to take his money with him. One thing about Mr. Wade, though, is that he is trying to preserve his relationship with his son, which meant more to him than his anger or his money. We need to remember, relationships is what life is all about. When you are in your dying bed in the hospital, I guarantee you, you are not going to say, just bring me the picture of my Lexus one last time to look at it. You're not going to say that. You're not going to say, bring me my bank statement so I can see what it is I'm leaving behind. You're going to want to say, did John get here yet? Did my daughter arrive? Is my wife coming back? That's what you are going to want when you get to the end of your life. So don't you think we ought to be doing something about it now? The second thing about lasting love is it expresses faith. Now, Mr. Wade didn't deserve the behavior of his son, but he didn't lose fact that this was still his son. Sometimes we get hurt by people and we take it out on somebody else. Now, for the life of me, I do not know how you can say you love Jesus and they got to go track you down to pay child support for your kids. You know them kids got to eat. You know they got to live. I ain't giving my money. I don't know what they're doing with it. Well, you take some food over there. Take some clothes over there. You know they size. Go pay the mortgage yourself. How can a father not pay for his children because he's angry at the mother? Lasting love expresses faith that there's going to be another day. And in that another day, I want us to be reconciled with one another. Lasting love expresses faith in the possibility of what might happen in the future. Things may not be what we want them to be today, but it's not always going to be like that. With God, all things are possible. Now, Mr. Wade reluctantly gave his self-centered John what he asked for, gave him his future share of the business right then, hoping that his son would do what he said he was going to do and invest it wisely. Love involves taking risk with people and being willing to trust them. You see, you can't love somebody if you're not willing to trust them. So if we're going to love somebody, not only do we have to extend grace, we have to express faith. I believe in you. I trust you. I think you can do it. We are told in 1 Corinthians 13:7, love never stops believing. Love always trusts. Love never loses faith. Now, one of the evidences of your willingness to trust is how eager are you to give a person a second chance? If you're the kind of person who will say in a minute, I ain't never going back to that group. I wouldn't have nothing else to do with them people if their life depended on it. You better watch so-and-so. You can't trust him. If I was you, I'd look back. You're not a very trusting person if you talk like that often, which means you're not a very loving person. People are going to need second chances. You are going to need second chances, and so am I. Now, when John got his share of the money, he took off in the night, tried to get as far away from home as possible. Whatever he did, he was going to be able to say he did it his way. First thing he did was what he knew how to do best, and that was to make friends and have parties. How many of you know parties will get you friends in a hurry? Well, he started having parties, and it wasn't just the little parties. He had wild parties. His parties were so wild, word got back in his father's country of how it was he was living it up. Having him a good time, hanging it all out there. Now, everybody needs to pay attention in math class. John did not pay attention in math class. He did not realize that even a lot of money will be gone if you spend it fast enough. His money started disappearing left and right. He finally realized, oh man, I got to cut back in a hurry. He still had enough to cut back. But one thing we all need to discover about life, we are not in charge. We are not in charge. He thought he had just enough to start to make it when the scripture says a famine came up on that country. You don't know when some natural disaster is about to hit. And when that famine came, the price of food skyrocketed. And when it skyrocketed, his savings went zip. And for the first time, he had to go out and find a job. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of job offers for party throwers. Check the newspaper when you go home and see how many of them you find. He finally had to get a real job. But the economy was bad and unemployment was high, and the only thing he could find was a job feeding slop to the pigs. Now, any of you who have been with pigs and been on a farm, you know they smell. You also look at the food that they eat, and you usually say, ew. But when John was taking that food to the pigs, he was thinking, should I steal some of it? Should I grab some and eat some of it? It said nobody was giving him any help whatsoever. All them people you feeding at your parties, you wait till you get broke. There he was in that stinking pig sty. When a light bulb came on in his head, he remembered, I had a father that loved me. Here I am starving to death, and my father's workers got food left over after dinner. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going back home and apologize to my father and ask him if he would just let me be like one of his minimum wage workers. You know, some of us are in the pig pen of life. And we too proud to admit we made a mistake. We stay stinking in the mud with the pigs. Our lives could be changed if we would admit we were wrong, say we were sorry, and ask for forgiveness. We are missing out on love that could be ours because of selfish pride. You know, only the fool yells out, I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. We all need somebody. We all need somebody to love us. That's one of the reasons God loves us. And God can do miracles in relationships, but sometimes we got to take the first step. I know I'm right. You're right. Stinking right, but you right. Hungry right, but you right. Miracle needs to happen in you first. Third thing about lasting love is that lasting love expects the best. Lasting love looks forward. It's not stuck in the past. It is hopeful. It believes that God isn't finished yet. Mr. Wade had a lasting love for his son, John. Now, he ain't heard much about John in quite a while on the news. You see, when you got money and throwing parties, you be on the news. When you broke and out there with pigs, ain't nobody reporting on you. So he hasn't heard from his son now in quite a while. There he is sitting on his porch, and he sees this figure coming down the road. And he thinks, man, oh man, what on earth is that? The clothes was dirty, ragged. Best he could see, the shoes wasn't much of shoes. The bones was about to poke out the side of the body. The face is looking haggard. And the closer the person got to the house, whoever it was, they was trying to run. And the more they tried to run, the more he started to recognize, that's my son John. He knew him by his run because he had gone to his games. He had seen him run from base to base. He knew him by his run because they had ran together as father and son playing games. He jumped up off of that chair and he started running down that road toward his son. You see, love never stops hoping. Another translation says, love always expects the best, looking for the best. Can you imagine the scene that hot day? Here is this well-dressed older man running to meet his son in rags that smells something awful. And he's running with tears coming down his face. You know, some of us need to make the journey down the road to meet somebody in order to offer them some forgiveness. They coming toward us, but they don't know what we're going to do when they get to us. And we've got the upper hand in the relationship. So the future depends on us. What do we see coming toward us? Is our hurt keeping us from seeing somebody else that needs us? Is our prejudice at how someone looks or dresses keeping us from extending our love toward them? Mr. Wade didn't know what kind of son he was going to meet when he jumped off that porch and ran toward him. John did not know what his father was going to say. Now, his father had the right to speak first. But when Mr. Wade got there, all he did was simply embrace the son. And his son said, Father, I've really disappointed you. I know I've blown it. I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. One thing I want us to realize about this is, when you leave out on a road out of a relationship, go in the right manner. Because you don't know what circumstances are going to bring you back down that road again. Don't you go off your job yelling, cursing, and swearing, screaming at people. Them same people are going to have to provide a reference on your job, the next job you're trying to get. Don't go out telling people, I'm sick and tired of you and I don't need you. You might need them to get back on your feet. Don't go out putting everybody in their place. Leave with some grace and appreciation in your voice. It'll make the road back home a lot easier. Young people, when you leave home, leave in such a way that your parents will be glad when you come back. Because things might not work out where you're going. You ain't never coming back in this house no more. Boom. And that job you had done moved to China. Now what you gonna do? Hey, Ma. Find out we done changed the number, changed the locks, and you can't get back in any kind of a way. The worst thing that you can do when you come join our church, if we say, why did you choose our church? If you start out by saying, well, the last church I was at, one none of them living for Jesus, and the pastor was there, I'm like thinking, oh my God, please find another church to go to. Why? Because when you get mad at us, you got to go out and say the exact same thing. Just leave gracefully. Pastor Rick, Pastor Toby, love y'all. Been a good experience. Praise God. The Lord is leading me on to such and such. We say, okay, okay. Because you see, you don't know what's going to be the circumstances the next time you meet. Because the next church you went to, they done put you out. But now your mother has died, and you want somebody to do the funeral. Pastor Rick, Pastor Toby, y'all remember me? Yeah, you said you weren't never coming back into this church. Praise God. Thank God you got Pastor Toby when you call. Oh, yeah, I remember you. How you feeling? You see, that's how Glenville works. When you really down and out, you accidentally got Pastor Toby on the telephone. Because I'm going to remind you, yeah, didn't you say such and such? Let me keep going. Last one says, lasting love endures the worst. Lasting love is persistent. It is determined. It doesn't give up on the relationship. The Bible says love never gives up. Love endures through every relationship. Love always perseveres. Love doesn't look back, but keeps going to the end. Lasting love stays put. Man, God is seeking men who will have lasting love for their children and for their wives. It's not an easy kind of a love to produce, but it's certainly worth having. Mr. Wade, he didn't receive back the kind of son he had hoped for when he sent him away dressed to kill with half of his money in the bank account. Here he is on the road with a guy who smells bad, dressed bad, looks thin, looks awful. He didn't have to say, now, John, you know you really hurt me. John already knew that. He didn't have to say, boy, you know you really failed. He already knew that too. He didn't even say, boy, if you hadn't been so hard-headed in the first place, you wouldn't have messed up like you did. How many of you know he already knew that? How many of you are guilty like me, like to tell people stuff they already know? Sometimes we just need to be quiet and accept him. Mr. Wade declared to this father, to the world, when his son was there, I'm not even worried to call your son. He says, quick, get my son the best robe you can find. Put some new shoes on his feet. Bring out that new diamond ring. Put it on his finger so everybody know he'll bring it that belongs to his family. Go to the freezer. Get out the biggest New York steaks you ever found. We got to have the biggest banquet we ever had in the history of this family. Why? Because my son who was dead is now alive again. He was lost and now he's found. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. He didn't want people to know how bad his son has failed. He wasn't trying to expose his failures to the world. Instead, he was offering protection and covering. He wanted the world to see not that his son had been way down. He wanted them to see that his son was back on the road up again. Amen. There were many times he could have given up on his son, but he chose not to. How many of you know there were many times when God could have forgiven up on us, but he chose not to? How many of y'all been like me, hard-headed, stubborn, went down the road you should not be going down, got down to the end of the road, messed up and cried out, help me, Lord! And God was there to help you? That's why we ought to be a little bit more loving and kind to each other. Learning to love is the single greatest lesson in life. Learning, first of all, to love God, and second of all, to love everybody else. That's why God put us on this planet. And the only way we choose to learn to love is to love when it's the hard thing to do. That's when we know what God's grace is. That's when we know what His mercy is. You know, if any of us got what we deserved, we wouldn't be sitting here today. God knows that each one of us can be a more loving person than we are today. But none of us can truly know what loving is all about without knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because He sets the standard for what true love really is. My friends, if like John, you need to be reconciled to somebody, swallow your pride and admit it and ask them to forgive you. Or if you're like the father who's been hurt by somebody you love or somebody you tried to help, humble yourself to say, I'm willing to receive you back with open arms. And if you don't know the love of the greatest one in this entire universe, the love of God, humble yourself and say, God, I need you in my life. And see what a difference.